Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Hankook Dynapro AT2 Extreme. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Happy Friday. Doug Gottlieb was just seen in Vegas shirtless with Aaron Donald and Von Miller, so glad that you're able to stop by and do the show, Doug, because I know you had other things going on.
I did. I was drinking 1942 straight. I was pounding that stuff. But I did. I took 5 minutes out of my time, put down the Twitter machine, and I'm slumming it and filling in for Dan with you. How are you?
I'm good, man. Look, I'm not as good as the Rams because clearly they are the team of the people. You know, with the party on Monday and the cursing and the drinking and the videos on TMZ, and we're running it back and Sean McVay is screaming it. It's been some kind of week.
It really, really, really has. I have a hypothesis on why the Rams won't repeat or why it is so difficult to repeat. We'll get to, but I do think that Tom Brady made it cool to get hammered, right? To get white boy wasted. Tom Brady's done a lot of things, but getting like uncomfortably happy drunk, I think Tom Brady has made into a very, very cool thing, as long as you're not behind the wheel of a car, I'm good with. It's all good.
Well, I think that was always kind of cool as long as you're not behind the wheel of the car. I mean, I've had a lot of nights like that, you know, not quite after celebrating winning the Super Bowl, but yeah, I always thought that was kind of fun. I mean, maybe I thought it was more fun than other people did around me, but that was always something that it was part of my life growing up. Sure.
Yeah, and in fairness, Travis Kelce was that Eagles, maybe the Eagles parade was the first in which they were almost a little bit uncomfortably, but still happy drunk, right? When what was the outfit that he was wearing? I'm trying to think what that actually was. What was an ode to? But no, the Rams have been living it up, and rightfully so. You went to the victors, go the spoils,
yeah.
And they are in fact the champions. The other thing that's interesting is we've returned to the world champion thing, right? Which, if you remember when we were kids, the NBA, when you'd win a championship, they would say it's the world championship. They've gone away from that because there is actually a world championship that we sort of care about, and there's the cut. What is it called? The maybe World Cup or whatever it's called. And then of course you have the Olympics. So now we just call it the NBA championship, right? We celebrate the trophy, but the NFL, I can't remember them talking about it being a world championship until this year. I understand there is no major football league anywhere else in the world, so technically they are right, but I don't remember that being a part of the discussion until this year.
Well, clearly they want to get ahead of the USFL. They don't want the USFL jumping in and saying, hey, wait a minute, you have a championship too. It just sounds better, right? What sounds better, Super Bowl champion or world champion? Like, hey, we beat everybody in all these other countries. Meanwhile, they didn't have teams and didn't show up. It doesn't matter. World champion always sounds better than just champion.
Well, couldn't we also say that they're the champions of the solar system? I mean, I'm not aware if there's a league on Mars or Saturn or Venus, but I mean, why stop at the world when you can do the solar system? And honestly, I mean, like, listen, if we claim the galaxy, Rams to attack a football game.
Yeah, well, you never know where Aaron Rodgers could ask for a trade to. So it could, you know, you could, he may know of some place in the solar system that he may be better off at than Green Bay.
He did very, very much look like he wanted to sing for Creed when he was at the, he was Scott, what's that guy, Scott?
Scott Stapp.
Yeah, he was feeling his Scott Stapp at the NFL award show, wasn't he? You know, he was, can you take me higher?
Well, look, it hasn't been all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows for the Rams, because we'll get into the Matthew Stafford video coming up in a couple of minutes. But, you know, the funny thing is, you know, we're talking, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, right? And with everything going on with the Rams and celebrating them winning the Super Bowl, one of the things that pushed them along the way I don't think we're talking about enough is that when you play in a big market, whether you're L.A. or New York or Chicago, or look, even teams like Tampa and Green Bay, they all deal with controversy. And sometimes it's enough and it rips the team apart and it's hard to get past. Look, even Brady had Antonio Brown quit in the middle of a game earlier this year. And Aaron Rodgers' drama was a daily thing. And as soon as they lost, was it Aaron Rodgers' fault? Was it LaFleur's fault? And in New York and Los Angeles, all these places, you deal with controversy regularly and you can't get away from it. And it's something that just drags teams down. And for the Rams to be in the number two market and to basically have this run to the Super Bowl where no matter what they had happen to them, any injury they had, they were able to cover. Cam Akers is out for the year. Doesn't matter. We got it covered. Matthew Stafford's had three bad weeks in a row with these throwing picks in the middle of the season. What's going to happen? No, that's good. We got it covered. It was just a lull. Oh, what do we? Robert Woods is out. We're going to go get Odell Beckham Jr. And nothing that happened was anything that derailed them on the way. They were able to stay controversy-free, where really the biggest thing was always, oh, is Matthew Stafford really going to win, right? Is he for real? Is he good? Here's newsflash. He has been good, and he was even better this year. But, like, that's the only thing. And other teams around the league are going, man, I wish that's what we had to deal with, just with people questioning how good our quarterback was in the midst of a winning season. They were able to take controversy and make it a non-factor. The Lakers every day have controversy. The Dodgers have controversy. And it's like they're unicorns there, that they were able to win and not have to deal with any sort of that factor along the way.
That's because nobody actually cares about the Rams in L.A. They just don't.
Hey, there were 30,000-ish people that came to that parade, Doug. Come on.
The Rams are, and look, you moved here a long time ago. We're broadcasting from Los Angeles. So, I mean, I'm actually old enough. I moved to Southern California in 1981. So when they left in the mid-90s, I remember it. Like, they weren't that popular in L.A. or even in Orange County when they left in the early 90s. You know, so when they came back, there's plenty of football fans. They're football fans of the Raiders, probably number one, the Cowboys, number two. Then you have, you know, Packers, Steelers, Chiefs, Niners, and somewhere in there, there's the Rams. And, you know, the Chargers' uphill battle is not just because there's not Charger fans, but they were actually the rival, you know, the rival of the Raiders for so long. And so they're fighting that battle. But I think this is the power of the Super Bowl is really amazing, you know, because all of those things, which are real things, Matt Stafford didn't play well for, like, now we're crowning him like, is Matt Stafford a Hall of Famer? You know, we'll debate upcoming next, like this. And I think he's got a shot at the Hall of Fame? Like, yeah, but like, are we completely forgetting the fact that he was not great down the stretch of the season, that they gagged away a league that could have kept the Niners out of the playoffs. Like, there's some flaws to it. I mean, look, the Odell Beckham Jr., like, the timing ended up being sort of perfect, right? But that wasn't the intent. Robert Woods went down after they had already picked up Odell Beckham Jr., and, you know, now all of a sudden they needed him, and it took him a couple weeks to figure it out. I think the Von Miller acquisition, by the way, was the one that tipped the scales. You know, my take on the Super Bowl MVP is simple. I think Aaron Donald's a great player. He's been a great player, and he made a couple great plays. First, he owes any of this discussion on MVP like a tip to Chris Collinsworth, because Chris Collinsworth talked about him so much that, you know, those of us, we don't have the all 22. Because anybody who watched the tape is like, Von Miller was dominating the game in the first half. And my belief is that though Aaron Donald was great, he's going against a below average offensive line. And he's playing with a group, that defensive front is nasty. They dominated the game. Whereas Cooper Kupp, there was no other options for the Rams. A running back couldn't make a first down. They couldn't move the ball running it. And they're without their number two and number three and number four wide receiver, right? You don't have Tyler Higbee as your four. You don't have Robert Woods as your two. You don't have OBJ as well, who's your two, who because he was single covered, he was probably going to win the MVP. He was going to light up the Bengals. They had no other option, and it was a one-man drive. I've never seen that. And I can't believe the Bengals, like, just stop one guy and you might win this game. But I think a good portion of the reason why they were able to stay out of the fray for the most part is that just the Lakers mess overshadows it. And they're just not, LA's just not wired. It's not like a Rams town. It's like if Matt Stafford stinks, there's not some pale that comes over the city, you know?
Well, I kind of look at the Rams like I look at the Nets, where nationally they're a big story, but in their own backyard, they're behind a lot. As much as the Nets are a big story, we talk about KD and Kyrie and the Harden trade, everything, they're always going to be behind the Knicks as far as relevancy and people paying attention. Here in L.A., the Rams are going to be behind the Lakers, and they're going to be behind the Dodgers as far as what everybody is paying attention to. So there's still that avenue there that's open to the controversy, and they didn't let it swallow them up. And they have, you know, you talk about being good at all the different levels, front office, head coach, and your player leaders, and that's kind of where they were. You know, there was nothing that allowed this to seep in, and Sean McVay did not allow this to seep in, and the belief in Matthew Stafford never waned, even when he was playing bad in the middle of the season. And, you know, when you have tough times, you're trying to deal with stuff, it's like, hey, we've gotten this done all season long. You know, we've all believed on this. And look, it helped that you didn't roll coverages more towards Cooper Kupp in the final drive, kind of like when Sam Mitchell decided, I'm going to keep single covering Kobe Bryant in his 81-point game. Why don't you do this a little more? No. That's just what they're expecting us to do. But that's a hidden part of it, that when you see where other teams fall short, and yeah, look at Tampa Bay. They bring in Antonio Brown, and it worked for a while, and then it didn't work. And then suddenly, because of his mercurial behavior, Brady is without the guy that he liked the most. And the offense just wasn't really the same, and it just really didn't work. And Aaron Rodgers in the playoff game, it just really didn't work, and they couldn't move the ball at all on the Niners. And again, it was a playoff situation in which, you know, LaFleur and the game plan wasn't as good as it could have been to try to attack the Niners defense. It was all these things that keep coming up. And okay, is this like the number one reason why a team was able to win? Why? No, but it's a big part of it, that when you don't have to worry about any knuckleheaded stuff, it becomes an easier thing for you along the way.
It's a fair point. What do you think of the Stafford video where now the photog had a broken back and
oh my God.
I'll give you my thoughts in a second, but when you saw the video, what'd you think?
When I saw this, I couldn't believe that this is a person. Like, he disappointed me as a human being, not as a football player, but just when they asked this woman who's a photographer to take their picture, and she falls off the stage. Okay, nothing could have stopped that because it was just an accident. But when you're a person, right? Your first reaction is like, if someone's falling, it's, oh, like you move towards them. Like there's at least a little bit, like Kelly Stafford, at least, oh my God, I can't believe this. And she moved forward to see what was happening. Matthew Stafford just very coldly and calmly just turned around and said, nope, not getting involved, walking away. It's like, dude, this woman just fell off the stage in front of you. You're the big football player. You can at least call and say, hey, something happened. Come help this woman. Instead, nope, I'm just walking away. Kelly, you deal with it. I really don't want to. I mean, I was disappointed in him as a person. I'm like, man, we said some great things about Stafford and what he did at quarterback and his no-look pass and the final drive. And then I see that and I go, dude, you just walk away? I mean, your first reaction, or even to stare over to the top of the stage and just go, wow, what happened? Are you okay? I mean, even you get that if someone doesn't want to get involved. It's, oof, what happened there? Man, hey, anybody can help? Because I don't want to. But this just him turning and walking away? Wow. I hope I don't ever need help from Matthew Stafford because he just turned to walk away from me. He wouldn't help me at all.
I mean, it's a bad look. There's no way to put it. It's a bad look. And none of it's his fault. And you do wonder, like, you know, and the things that when you're drunk and you're having a good time, and it is almost like somebody who else. And now she obviously was doing her job, right? I've thought a lot about this, right? Like, say you're drunk, and then somebody else who's drunk falls at a party. Obviously, you would think the first thing you would do is, "Are you okay?" Right? Are you okay? It's a very normal behavior. On the other hand, you know, when you're hammered and somebody else falls, "Whoa, I'm out. That wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it." I think that's my only way to give him somewhat of a pass. But because there's videos, I don't know what it was, 6, 7, 8 feet off of a stage, that you don't turn and just go like, "Hey, are you okay?" Like, you don't have to go and start performing mouth to mouth and CPR to just ask the question, "Are you okay?" I do give him a little bit of a pass because of the excessive drinking. And it's not like he was, you know, everybody says this all the time. Who you are as a drunk is who you really are, right? Happy drunk, happy person, angry drunk, angry person underneath. And Matt Stafford clearly was a happy drunk. So it's not like he's some angry person that enjoyed watching her fall and break her back. On the other hand, there is a lack of empathy there, which is a little alarming. And then, you know, he and Kelly come out. "Now we'll pay for her medical bills." Like, yeah, I don't know. Damage kind of done there, bud, as we all saw the video.
Look, I know that when you say, okay, let's add alcohol, and that's a big variant. But at that point, Stafford's still, he's standing having a conversation with his wife, and everything is cool. And I saw it, and I walked away right away. Yes, I don't. This wasn't where, "Hey, I didn't really see what happened, or I wasn't paying attention." No, he's standing on stage and he's calmly having a conversation. "Oh, she fell. Oh, I'm walking off." See, I can't really give him a pass for that. I mean, there's so many other things that naturally. "Hey, we need some help here. Someone come over here and help." You know, wave someone over. There's all kinds of people there. You can do that. And for him to not even do that. I mean, I can't. I get that he couldn't help her because she just fell, right? And this is not about them doing anything that hey, listen, you could have really stepped out and grabbed her and she could have fell. But, you know, throw on top of that the fact that they asked her to take the picture. You know what I mean? Just think, if you're on vacation, like say you and your wife are on vacation, right? You and your family is there. You're at, you know, Disneyland or somewhere, and you say to someone, "Hey, could you do us a favor? Can you take our picture?" Because that happens all the time. You go on vacation. "Hey, you want me to take the picture?" "Yeah, that's great." And you're standing there, and you and your family, everybody's there, and the woman taking the picture has your phone, and she just stumbles backwards and falls like 8 feet. I mean, that's you going, "Oh, hey, sorry. Well, all right, sorry. Let's go, kids. Come on, let's go. Let's keep going. Let's get to the Nemo ride. Come on, let's go." I mean, that's the equivalent of it for anybody else. I don't know who doesn't have a natural human response to, "Oh, are you okay?" And, look, when you're an athlete, and I get that you're worried that people are going to be after you at certain times, and if you're involved in something, I don't want to be in a case where, hey, this is someone that's going to get money from me, or they're starting something with me in a bar or anything else like that. No, that if there was any kind of confrontation, that I could even understand. This is just, you asked a person to take your picture, and they fell, and you just walk away from them. I think they kind of had to say, "Hey, we're going to take care of your medical bills," because that optic and that look, as you said, it's just awful to have that there.
It was not a strong look. There's no denying that was one of those.
Not a strong look.
Did I really? Did I really? It reminded me of, you remember that TV show, probably about 15 years old. What Would You Do? Right. The premise of it is, you know, like there's a stroller like rolling down a hill, you know, and it rolls by your chair at an outdoor restaurant. What would you get up and stop the stroller and help the baby inside? And we all say we would do it, and then you watch the video and, you know, very few people do it. That was like one of those, "What would you do?" And Matt Stafford was the, "Yeah, I'm out. I'm out.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or, I don't know, take over a minute to down a 2-liter? Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danis. Although you and I would do a great show together, Doug, the two of us. I mean, we do great stuff here together. You and I do a great show together every day.
So you're trying to recruit me to be on the Jason Smith Show?
I am. I'm trying. I don't have a lot of things to offer you, but I can just have, you know, a few things like, hey, we'll have sandwiches.
Wow.
Like,
that's Harman, Harman's coming at me on Twitter the way that Acho came at me on. Harman's coming after you on Twitter the way Acho came at me on Twitter last night.
You want to get into that a little bit in a few minutes, or
sure.
How do you feel about that? All
sure,
right,
whatever,
very good.
Whatever.
All right, so that's a Twitter beef that is really, really eye-opening. But right now, joining us now on the hotline, Fox Sports 1 analyst, Pac-12 Networks, Eddie House. He's on Twitter, at @EddieHouse_50. Eddie, happy All-Star break. How are you?
How you guys doing, man?
I know Jalen, they lost last night, but, I mean, I don't know. Have you been paying attention to this one, Jace? His son, Jalen, transferred from Arizona State to New Mexico, and Richard Pitino Jr. is kind of rebuilding New Mexico. His son and Jamal Mashburn's son have been killing it. And I'm like, look, there's a bunch of things to get into, but a lot of it, Eddie, is about like maintaining your confidence, isn't it? Like, that's, you had unbreakable belief in self, and your son has kind of regained that at New Mexico.
Yeah, he has. Well, you know, when your coach believes in you and basically tells you what he wants from you, and he allows you to do those things and sort of kind of play through mistakes, because we know the game of basketball is a mistake game. You're going to make mistakes, but you got to be able to play through them and have an opportunity to be yourself and play your game. And he wasn't given that opportunity at Arizona State, and Coach Pitino has given him all of the opportunity to play. And, I mean, he feels free, and I'm happy for him that he's able to start enjoying basketball again, because when you're not enjoying basketball, you've probably been there before. It's the hardest thing to do when you're not having fun playing the game.
I'll tell you, Eddie, I wish I had talked to you before this, because over the holidays, we went to New Mexico, and I wanted to get a tour of the pit. I always wanted to see it and hear about all the different reasons why it's so loud, and it was closed, and I couldn't get in. You could have got me in, Eddie. You could have got me in.
I could have pulled some strings, man. Next time, hit us up.
All right, so with the NBA here, All-Star break, Joel Embiid goes off last night, big game against Giannis. Who's your MVP right now?
Oh, man. I think we've seen two of the candidates last night between Giannis and Embiid, but you got to also put Jokic in the conversation. You see what Jokic is doing with his team depleted. He still has his team in the playoffs. You know, they're at the top of the standings, but they're definitely not at the bottom. They're right there in the thick of things in the middle. And if you look at what he's been able to do with less, you know, with no Jamal Murray out there, I mean, that's a big part of their team. And he's been able to carry them when they got the win over the Golden State Warriors a couple nights ago off of his pass. It's not just his scoring ability, it's his passing ability, him pushing the floor, setting guys up. I think those three guys, and what's ironic about it, right, is we all said the big man is dead, and you got three guys that are big men that are leading, to me, the MVP race.
Yeah, no, it is interesting on how the reemergence of the center specifically has taken place over the past couple of years. While we've been so caught up with the 3-point shots and how guards we thought took over the game. Who do you side with in the Durant Harden kind of divorce beef?
Well, I'm not going to side with anybody. I think at the end of the day, we know what James is, what his ability to play is never in question. Same thing with KD. But both of them can get sick of a situation very quickly. KD with the situation with the Warriors, and we've seen it twice now already with James. If they're not happy, and I think that's the one thing about it, is these guys that are the superstars and you are face of the franchise and franchise players, they have the power to make these moves. And, you know, people are in an uproar like, oh man, what is the league gonna do? The collective bargain is coming up. These owners are gonna. Well, it's only a handful of guys that can pull that type of power move, and they'll be able to still pull those type of power moves because they're getting that type of money. A role player would never be able to say, I'm unhappy and I want to get up out of here. Oh, if you did that, trust me, you'll get up out of here, but out of the league, okay? So it's just two different dynamics. And, you know, I think it worked out for both parties, and I also think it worked out for both teams. But I think Brooklyn got the better end of that. You know, they got a rebounder. They got a floor spacer. They got a young guy in his prime that – he's going to defer. He's not looking to get shots. He's looking to get guys shots. Instantly, he can help because he can rebound. He's 6'10", and he plays defense. They got better defensively. And then you pick up two first-round draft picks. Not that you need to draft somebody and hit a home run, but those are assets if you want to pick up another vet that can help you win a championship, because their window is open now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like the move. I like the move substantially. Can the Lakers be competitive in the playoffs if they can get healthy in time?
Well, you got LeBron James, so you're going to be competitive. Now, is that going to equate to you winning? I don't think so. I just don't think, if you look at their roster, the way it's constructed, I don't think that they have enough top to bottom. And look at the top of the West, okay? I don't think they're going to be able to beat Phoenix. I don't care if they're healthy or not. I don't think they're going to be able to beat Golden State. I don't care if they're healthy or not. Memphis, they could probably give Memphis a run for their money, but what do the Lakers have a problem doing? That's guarding the perimeter, right? Yeah. And you're going to have an issue with Ja Morant. He's going to stay on the attack. It's going to be tough to beat them. LeBron is going to have to put the team on his back and do what LeBron does. It's not out of the realm of things, but, you know, he is getting long in the tube. We don't see it in his play, but at the same time, you don't want to keep – he's going to have to play heavy minutes for them to even stay in contention to be in a playoff game or move up in the standing. So he's going to have to log heavy minutes coming up after this All-Star break. So I just don't see it. I did not like the Russell Westbrook move. I did not think that was a good fit. But really, that's not the problem with the Lakers. The Lakers is – the problem is health, number one, and Anthony Davis to me. Anthony Davis just – you know, he was on a streak there of like 30 – like four straight games with 30 points then – Giannis came in, they got smacked. Then he plays a couple nights later, Nurkic outplays him. And there's just no way that Nurkic is supposed to outplay Anthony Davis anytime, anywhere. I don't care what is happening. That's not supposed to happen. And to me, Anthony Davis is the main reason why, because he's not available and he's been consistently inconsistent. And to me, that's the reason why the Lakers are struggling, because they definitely rely heavily on him to be there, to be at least in the game for them, so they can have a rim protector, another guy that can score. He's supposed to be the number two guy. He's just not been there for him.
Eddie, the Western Conference, really top-heavy. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the Suns and the Warriors. You go to the East now, and you have six teams with the Celtics' recent hot streak, all within four games of the top. Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference?
I got to go with Milwaukee. I know they didn't get the win last night, but I like Milwaukee. We know Miami is – you know, all well coach, always going to be right there. Philly's going to make their push. But Milwaukee, when they get healthy, I think when Serge Ibaka gets all the way acclimated with everything that that they need him to do, I just think that Giannis is still one of the best players. Arguably, you could say the best player in the league if you want to. I mean, you can make an argument for that. I don't like discrediting these guys. I think that they've earned the right to have the respect. When Connaughton comes back, that's going to help them a lot. I like Milwaukee a lot. I think they're going to be a tough out. And Giannis is just something about him. He is just he's a straight beast. I mean, for real, when he puts his mind to something, like last night a couple times, you know, Tobias Harris daring him to shoot and he makes those shots. That's what's going to make him – that makes him so dangerous, because now you can't just give him the three because he's going to knock it down. Now, if you start getting close to him, he can get by you. He's extremely strong. I like Milwaukee, but you're right. The West is top-heavy. It's almost totally shifted. When the West used to be the conference, the Eastern Conference right now, to me, is the best conference in basketball. It's a lot of parity in there, and you spoke about the Celtics. They were on a hot streak. They ended up losing to Detroit. They're going to be a tough out. So, I mean, I'm excited for this last little couple months, this playoff push, to see where teams are going to end up. And I think the playoffs is going to be amazing.
Yeah, we don't even know if Jamal Murray is going to be back, what he looks like when he returns. That could be a difference maker in Denver. Of course, Golden State, as they continue to get healthy and evolve. Eddie, great stuff. Make sure you tell Jalen congrats. I've been paying attention. He's having an awesome year. And thanks for being our guest on the Dan Patrick Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me, and I will tell him that.
All right. It's pretty cool. You know, like, he was at Arizona State, and they just had too many guards, and all those guys left. And look, if we're honest, New Mexico is down a level from the Pac-12, considering where New Mexico is currently, right, and trying to be rebuilt, but gone somewhere, gotten a great opportunity, and having a fantastic end of the season. He definitely could have given you a tour of the pit. That's a great place.
That was one of, when we went, we two places we wanted to go. We wanted to go to the Breaking Bad house, right, to see where, you know, Walter White was. Sure. And I said, I got to go to the pit. And my wife was like, okay, sure. And we're driving. And it's like, you know, typical, it's such a cliche moment. We're driving, I'm going, and here's when they built the pit and the architecture did this. And this is why it's so loud, because you walk in and you see, you know, you actually go down when you come in. And my family's like, yeah, we're going to drop you off. We're going to drop you off, and we're going to go, and then we'll come back and pick you up. Like, yeah, great. And I get there, it was closed. The entire pit was closed. I'm like, there's nobody here. There's not one person here. No, I couldn't get in.
When was it? Was it like COVID? Was everything shut down? When was this?
It was after Christmas. So we went, and it was actually
You couldn't get in?
No, there was nobody. Doug, there wasn't anybody there.
There's always somebody there.
I will text you.
I will text you off air. You were trying like at the main entrance. That's the problem. Like, don't go the main entrance.
No, I went all the way around. I went main entrance. I went the backside. I'm knocking.
You went
like,
to the Davalos Center? You went to the Davalos Center where the basketball, that's the basketball center is attached to it. What's unique about that building is not just dug into the ground. Lots of buildings are dug into the ground. You're at a mile high altitude. And they redid it, I don't know, it feels like a decade ago, and they took out some seats and put in and redid boxes. It's awesome. So it's not huge. It's like 14,000, I think. What's amazing about it is they're the pro team of not just Albuquerque, but kind of the state. New Mexico State's a tremendous program, but they're the team in the state. And when you go to these college campuses, one of the reasons you want the students to be, like I saw UConn. UConn is back, right? Like Danny Hurley's got it rolling, and the students are back, and they were on campus in Gamble a couple nights ago, and that place. And I'm like, you got to move the students down to the right on the sideline. And the reason is the students are into the game, right? The difference in that place specifically is I've never seen old people, blue hairs, crazier than in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Like the students are like, whoa, hey, granny, that chant, it's a little bit too, like they are into it. When they're good, when 2013, when that was Alford's last year, and I think they won the league 3 years in a row, whatever, that was the best environment. You know, I played in a great environment. I'm going to Duke tomorrow. I mean, those are the best environments in sports, not just in basketball, college basketball, in sports, where, I mean, it's just a hum and a buzz. Even when you're warming up, it's definitely on the bucket list. You should go. I'd say by next year, the following year, Patino will have that thing where they're competitive at the top of the league. You go when San Diego State comes in town. Hopefully, I think UNLV will be back by then. Even the Wyomings of the world, that's a great place to watch a game.
Oh, I'd love to hear some of that at the. And I thought just getting cursed out by the woman who owned the Breaking Bad house was going to be my highlight of the trip.
No, there's a guy named Snake who he may have been an extra in Breaking Bad. There's okay. A dude named Snake. He's an awesome dude. You meet Snake. Snake will show you the ropes.
So I go and knock on the back door and say,
yeah, we're Snake.
I'm looking for Snake. That's not going to end well. I can already tell that's not going to end well.
Correct.
Snake is here for you. The Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Twitter at HowAboutAFresca. Doug at Gottlieb Show. Coming up next, we're going to address what's been going on the last 24 hours with Doug and Emmanuel Acho. It has been something on social media. That's next right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, A young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome inside Hour 2 of the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Hit us up on Twitter at HowAboutAFresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. Thanks to Michael Lee for stopping by last hour on the show. We got more NBA on the way, including the latest on Anthony Davis, who now looks like he's only going to be out for a month after that injury the other night.
I mean, only a month.
Well, it looked awful. It looked like one of those injuries that, oh my God, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. His ankle turned. I think the guy's made of rubber. You know, because we have this happen like five times a year. Look at that injury by AD. Oh, he's not coming back for a while. And then he's back out of the locker room in 5 minutes. I mean, that looks really, really bad.
It was a sprained ankle. It was a badly sprained ankle. A month is a long time. I mean, I don't, he's helped by the All-Star break. Yeah, here's the thing. What's interesting about Anthony Davis, a friend of mine, who's in the Lakers organization, told me, which is when LeBron, like last year, he had the high ankle sprain. And they're like, yo, man, you're going to be out 2 to 4. High ankle sprains are hard, probably 4 weeks. LeBron is everyday treatment guy at the house as well, back in 2 weeks. Whereas technically, Anthony Davis is a guy like, oh, I'm out 4 weeks? I'll see you in 4 weeks. And nobody sees or hears him. So that's
like it's a vacation.
A month is a long time for a sprained ankle. It's a badly sprained ankle, but it's a long time, and it'll be interesting to see when he comes back and if the Lakers can keep it together by the time he gets back. Sorry, keep going. You were vamping. I apologize.
No, it's all good. It's just when that happened, you saw the way the side of his ankle hit the floor, and I'm like, okay, he's done for. We're not seeing him again. Like we're not going to see him again until the fall, or maybe we don't see him as a Laker again.
He didn't break his leg in half. He sprained his ankle.
Yeah, but AD is not the guy. Is not the Mr. Slim Goodbody stay in shape all the time. Something like that. I'm like, that's going to keep him out forever.
No question. But I think. That's what a badly sprained ankle looks like. That's what it looks like. You turn that thing badly. It was bad. It was bad.
Do we see him in a month? Do you think we see him in a month, or are we not going to see him in a month?
Yes.
We'll see him in one month from the day. Okay, I'm out a month. 1 month of the day, I'm here?
Yes. Yes. I'll see you in a month.
Okay. Well, you told me you'd see me. I'm here. I'm back. I'm reporting.
Yeah.
Big stuff out of the NFL yesterday. I probably saw this headline that the Packers, hey, please, Aaron Rodgers, please stay, hired Tom Clements as their quarterback coach. Now, Tom Clements is probably a name you've seen over the course of the past 30 years, very highly regarded, one of the biggest quarterback gurus in National Football League history, and a guy that Rodgers has long credited with his development during his early days in the league. Tom Clements has worked with a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of successful guys, and here's Aaron Rodgers now getting Tom Clements, who's coming
out of retirement, because he's 68, to come and coach quarterbacks with the Packers. Now, clearly, here's an olive branch for Aaron Rodgers as hopefully things thaw. Now, I know, Doug, there's something bigger that the Packers can do to clinch him coming back. But do you buy this, that this is the, hey, we really want to mend fences with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to do some things here publicly that are going to help that along the way?
Yes. Yes. I think, you know, if you track what's been going on in Green Bay, right, where the reports were that Aaron Rodgers stayed around Green Bay a little bit longer than he normally does after they lost to the San Francisco 49ers, and that he was on some levels involved in some, you know, planning and decision making as they knew they were going to lose Nathaniel Hackett. This feels like Denver made a really good move to put him in check. And then, you know, I don't know enough about, I know enough about chess, but this does feel like a reversal, almost like a checkmate. Or if you want to use the wrestling analogy, right? Like, you got him, Denver might have had him pinned, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Green Bay's like, nope, got you exactly where I want you. Bringing back Tom Clemens feels like this is what Aaron wanted. We're going to adjust the roster. We're going to bring back Devontae Adams. He's going to get a new contract. That's what it feels like. Look, I totally understand if you watch the second straight Super Bowl of a quarterback getting out of their longtime home and in their new spot in their first year winning a Super Bowl. That's hard to compete against, right? Because anybody sit there and go like, man, you know, Aaron Rodgers would just get to Denver Broncos or to, you know, pick other team. But, you know, Aaron's still under contract. They don't have to trade him. They don't have to do anything. Devontae Adams, frankly, still under contract and can be franchise tagged. So the Packers do hold those cards. And when you listen to what Aaron said at the NFL honors dinner, you realize that whether he really thinks it or not, he sure is selling us that he actually loves his head coach. Like, they have a really good relationship.
Until the playoffs, when suddenly they can't do anything.
I mean, they don't have good enough players around him. That's it. Like, you take away Devontae Adams, he doesn't have a good enough. AJ Dillon got hurt, didn't have a good enough tight end. I love Mercedes Lewis, but he's not. And all these other guys have, you know, the big time quarterbacks have a legit tight end. He doesn't have one. No one else scared anybody, and they're playing the freezing cold. Nobody can. And then, you know, they get rid of what think about that. What they did, they went and hired Rich Bisaccia, who is a very well-regarded special teams guy. Ask anybody in the AFC West, and like, you know what, Bisaccia has been really well-regarded. That's to fix their special teams. They go and get his longtime mentor and friend who he lost his mind over when they left, in Tom Clemens, and bring him back. This feels like this is all part of Aaron Rodgers saying, like, look, if we're going to do this, let's do this right. Let's hire really good coaches, and then we'll adjust the roster, and let's run this thing back.
Well, look, now I have that visual Sean McVay yelling, run it back, like right next to me, that scares me when I hear it now. Here's the thing about Rodgers. A couple of quick things is that Rodgers now, I wonder how much of this is, okay, if I get traded, they're sending me to the AFC. Right, like there's people I've talked to that have said, listen, if they make this deal, they desperately want to send him to the AFC.
Sure.
And the AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. You want to go to the AFC West and it's Mahomes and Herbert, and then you get to the playoffs and it's Josh Allen. And that's a really difficult thing, because when you look at what's happening in the NFC, Brady just walked away. You have no idea what's happening with Kyler Murray in Arizona right now. He's unhappy and he wants more money, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to give it to him. I wonder how much of Rodgers is that, wait a minute, staying here is probably the path of least resistance to the Super Bowl, because I could go into the AFC and just get eaten up if I wind up with the wrong team. And trying to get through some of those quarterbacks in the playoffs, now Joe Burrow is a guy I got to get through. I don't know that I really want to do that. So maybe staying here turns out to be the right thing, and he sees that as part of how do I get to the Super Bowl. Even though we lost at home to the 49ers, I lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. So maybe this is better, because if I'm losing to Jimmy Garoppolo, hopefully we can make changes where next season I can get past Garoppolo and Matthew Stafford and not have to worry about Mahomes and Herbert and Burrow and Josh Allen and whatever the Patriots wind up doing. This is the better place for me to stay.
Yeah, I just think it's really hard to know what matters to him, what he wants. I do feel like, you know, he's got kind of a wandering spirit. you know, and he kind of path to discovering himself. I mean, obviously, there have been headlines that his engagement is off. Is that because he's staying in Green Bay and she doesn't live in Green Bay and doesn't want to live in Green Bay? Or is that because he has a wandering spirit and he doesn't love the commitment to it because he's been committed to a same football team for 17 years? I don't know. I don't know if a quarterback sits there and goes, yeah, you know, they have Josh Allen. Like, those guys are confident enough in themselves that they don't care who's playing quarterback on the other side. You know, you get me a good enough team, I'm gonna win you a Super Bowl. I generally believe that's how most of those guys think. Like, I don't think Tom Brady sought out Tampa and said, well, wait, who's on their schedule and who's in the NFC? And yeah, okay, now that works. I think it was, you know, location wise, they had talent. He had a coach that would allow him to kind of do his thing. And it was a completely different style than how the program was run when he was in New England. I don't think the rest of the conference really matters. But there is the reality that there's no way the Green Bay Packers are trading him to anybody. First, I don't think they're trading him. Who wants to be the guys who traded Aaron Rodgers? Like, oh, you guys are the ones who traded Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah, I don't. After he won an MVP, like, yeah, I don't want to be that guy.
Brett Favre if they do things differently. I mean, yeah, they just remember, do it differently.
The Brett Favre thing was different, right? Like, let's give context to it. Brett Favre thought about retiring for two consecutive years. Then he did retire. And then he's like, you sure? Yep, I'm done. Okay, Aaron Rodgers team. Then Brett's like, you know what? I want to play again. They're like, dude, we already gave the team to Aaron Rodgers. Can't do it. And then they traded him. That's not where we are with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is coming off of an MVP season, okay, where, and they're acquiescing to so many. They go and get a wide receiver that he wants last year, you know, in Randall Cobb. Now they go and get Tom Clemens back. I have no doubt that going to hire Rich Bisaccia was probably, they probably leaned on Aaron Rodgers in terms of, you know, who do you trust here, because they were such a disaster in special teams. It's different than the Brett Favre one.
You want to ensure that he comes back. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb here on the Dan Patrick Show. If you want to ensure that Aaron Rodgers comes back, hiring Tom Clements is great. Trade Jordan Love. Trade Jordan Love, because that accomplishes things, two different things. It's like double meanings for trading Jordan Love. If you trade him, you are admitting, if you're the Packers, hey, we were wrong. And being wrong means we were wrong about him as a prospect, because, look, clearly you hear people, you hear stories in the Packers, look, he's not ready still. This is 2 years going on. We traded up to get him in the first round. Okay, he's a sunk cost. We are admitting that we were wrong about him. But you're also admitting, hey, Aaron, we were wrong to try to push you out. You know, we drafted Jordan Love to take over. We expected this to be the year, and it didn't work out for him. You've won two MVPs. This is them saying, Aaron, this is about as sorry as we could say we are, without having to have a press conference saying, we're all here to say we're sorry. Wearing T-shirts that say, Aaron Rodgers, we're sorry. This accomplishes both of those things. And if you're the Packers, you don't have to worry about blowback on it, because, look, first-round picks don't work out all the time, right? There's guys that get waived after their first couple of years for many different reasons. It's more high profile because of what happened. And then Aaron Rodgers, who took on the Packers and threatened to leave and threatened to have changes. So I think there's a little bit more involved with Favre than that. But if you're moving on from him, whatever you get for him, you get for him. And Packers fans and pundits are going to say, well, hey, they made the move to move on from him. They realized their mistake. And now what they have as a result is Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback there for the next 3 or 4 years. And he'll get a new contract. He'll get some money. And this is how it's going to work out. Because can he really leave after you trade Love? After, hey, we're going to bring in Tom Clemens. We're going to get rid of Jordan Love. Everything we've done for you, Aaron, now. Now can he really still say, don't like it, I want out? That's like the big pressure point that would get him to absolutely commit and stay.
I don't think, I think the idea of pushing him out is not accurate at all. I just don't. I think they protected themselves against what the Dolphins have gone through, the Bills went through, all these teams that have great quarterbacks. You go back three seasons ago, and though I thought he had a pretty good year, many people were saying, you know, he's kind of declined some. He doesn't like being there. And Jordan Love was supposed to be a couple years away. And then Aaron Rodgers, you would have expected his skills to have eroded. At the time, he wasn't all in on the program, and he's completely come around. I thought it was actually a smart, kind of safe sort of pick. And I do think that because there's so few highly touted prospects coming out of this year's NFL draft, it wouldn't stun me if they could get close to a second for him, which is not exactly pennies on the dollar, right? He has trained under Aaron Rodgers. Or do they keep him? Could they? Yeah, of course they could. Of course they could. If they re-sign Aaron Rodgers to a new deal where there's 3 years. Now, at some point in time, they're going to draft another quarterback. You have to draft another quarterback. And, oh, yeah, by the way, just for anybody who doesn't pay attention, ask anyone inside NFL front offices that has a star quarterback. And I know I have a friend who was in Indy when Peyton was there. They would draft a guy in the sixth round, and Peyton would be like the first call the next day, like, who is this guy? You know, they're all like that. It's just like, you know, actors and movie stars and people in our business, and some of the most talented people are some of the most insecure people, and they worry about things that don't have anything to do with them. But that's kind of human nature, if you will. So I think they could trade Jordan Love? Yeah, I think this is a pretty good year to do so in the draft. But I think, you know, there's got to be a succession plan at some point in time. If that happens, it would coincide with a contract extension to Aaron Rodgers, which would put all this to rest. And that's probably what they do in order to navigate the cap and keep Davante Adams and go out and get some more talent.
See, I'd be with you in a vacuum, but here's why I disagree, is that not all quarterbacks are made the same. Some quarterbacks are okay with having the young guy, okay, look, I'm going to help him. I understand this is how it works. I'm going to play until I can't play anymore, and then this guy's going to take over. Other guys get mad. Look at what happened with Brady and Garoppolo in the Patriots. They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. This is not happening. Bob Kraft, you got to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo gets dealt. Brady gets pissed, and he winds up leaving and wins his last Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. I think you have to know the makeup of your quarterback to know that this guy's okay with it. This guy's not okay with it. This guy's not okay with it, but it might be able to motivate him. You get into a dicey situation there. It's like, okay, I get that you want to have your next quarterback on the roster, but that's not always good for the quarterback you have there. And here are the Packers who can look back and say, okay, well, did we succeed? We had Aaron Rodgers the last 2 years. He's won two MVPs. We had home field advantage in the playoffs, and we couldn't get to the Super Bowl. And now we have to worry about remaking our relationship with our quarterback and giving him a ton more money, and hopefully this is going to work. But overall, we've gone through a lot of stuff, and here we are basically the same place we were 2 years ago.
Yeah. I think they're a much better football team than they were 2 years ago. I think they need a little bit of help. Their offensive line hasn't been good enough. Obviously not having David Bakhtiari all year, that helps change things. And he needs another guy or two. He needs a tight end. He needs a tight end. And he needs another guy or two. I don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. would have worked, but that would have been a swing that you might have wanted to take now, kind of in hindsight, because they absolutely need another playmaker in addition to fixing the offensive line. But I think that it was hard to tell where the signs were pointing when you're watching that NFL awards, right? Because there was a certain nostalgia, a certain 17 years. On the other hand, when you hear people talk about what's happening in Green Bay, and then you see them hire Tom Clemens, who Aaron Rodgers has an immense amount of respect for, you feel like, and you hear him saying, I'm going to make this decision quicker. I think he's staying. I think he's staying.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. And speaking of staying, hey, you talked to Daniel Jeremiah earlier this week on your show, and DJ says, this is going to wind up being about the money. Let's hear from Daniel Jeremiah.
We see a lot of people around the league, and the expectation from everyone I talk to is Aaron Rodgers is going to get a new contract in Green Bay, and he's not going anywhere. That if there's a quarterback leaving Green Bay, it was more likely to be Jordan Love than Aaron Rodgers. So that's kind of the expectation from the guys that I talked to.
As Daniel Jeremiah earlier on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. See the biggest stars live on HBO Max. Catch Max Original Peacemaker starring John Cena. And don't miss the HBO Original Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. I can't wait to see that one. Discover all this and more HBO Max for just $9.99 a month.
Have you seen the previews for it? It looks insane. It looks absolutely insane, the previews for that show.
Yes.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. Coming up next, we got Charles Robinson from Yahoo stopping by. After everything we've seen this week, is Tom Brady really retired? Maybe not. That's next right here, Fox Sports Radio.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.